And you are listening to WCOM LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro, 103.5 FM on your radio dial, on your internet, wherever and however you get radio today. Can be on all sorts of devices. And we want to welcome you to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, bringing Carolina close to coast and the speakeasy to your doorstep. But your host, Claudio, is not with us today, so we're running around here doing our own thing. Ha ha ha, Claudio, but we miss you and we want you back next week. And he did ask me to say to all the listeners out there that he sends his regards and he's missing you too. So he will be back next week. But we still are inviting you into the speakeasy to come as you are, find a seat, and get comfortable in the place where you're always welcome and can always expect the very best. And we have to remember that Carolina Theater is supportive of both WCOM and Claudio Speakeasy. Carolina Theater is an historic nonprofit performing arts complex located at 309 West Morgan Street, Durham, North Carolina. It's dedicated to presenting vibrant, thought-provoking film and live performances that contribute to the cultural and economic vitality of downtown Durham and the Triangle region. The complex includes the last remaining of 13 theaters in downtown Durham. Telephone number is 919-560-3030, and the website is www.carolinatheater.org for more information. And that's theater spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E, carolinatheater.org. We have Carrboro with us today.
Hey, Carrboro.
Yes, good morning. Annette Stone is with us. Annette is the Economic and Community Development Director of the town of Carrboro, otherwise known as the Cruise Director.
That's what I say.
Okay. Get close, a little closer to the
mic. Okay, is that better?
Yeah, you can move the mic to you as well.
Okay.
So all you're right. Comfortable.
There you go.
Anyway, it's. I know you've been on WCOM before. You were on Carolina Bookbeat right before we were heading for being Lovetown USA.
That's right, when we were in the throes of being selected. So.
Mm-hmm. And now we're
or
in the
considered.
Throes of being not selected.
Considered. We were being considered at the time.
Right. But we didn't quite make it.
No. No, we were not selected. We can talk about that?
Sure, just a little.
Well, right before Christmas, and I guess to sort of to recap how we came to be considered for Lovetown, beginning of November, we got a call from producers in Los Angeles from the BBC who said that they were looking at towns all across the country, towns that were between 15,000 and 20,000 people, and they were interested in Carrboro as a potential site for this Lovetown docuseries, as they were calling it. It would have been a documentary on couples and how a community supports couples. So they were going through the process of taking applications for potential singles, mm-hmm. and looking and coupling those folks with suitors was the name. So we spent about a month and a half sort of working with them, showing them locations, potential filming locations, and we were competing. The very first time they came down, there was about six communities that they were considering, and they all seemed to be in the East, from best mm-hmm. I could tell from internet searches. They wouldn't necessarily disclose all the other communities.
Right.
But we got selected to be, we were the two of the finalists. We were one of the two finalists. And we know that it was between us and Kingsland, Georgia. And they came back in the middle of December, and again, we showed them a lot of locations for filming. We sort of hosted a reception in town hall. They had a town hall meeting, mm-hmm. and told folks in the community what the premise of the show would be like. They were really well received. They came across really great. Everybody seemed very thrilled. But then I got a call right before Christmas, and they said they were very, very nice. They were all over the country, five of them on a of these producers from the BBC on a conference call, and they were super sweet. And they said that we had not been selected, that the network, and again, this was the Oprah Winfrey Network, mm-hmm. is who they were producing this show for, did not select us, that there wasn't a thing that we could have done differently, mm-hmm. that we were a wonderful, wonderful community and how much they appreciated us. They said the towns were like night and day.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. So, and you know, I've said this repeatedly. This was not something we went out looking for. They came looking for us, mm-hmm. and it was all gravy. It was all fun. It brought people together. There was nothing lost, and community spirit was built.
Right.
So there was nothing but good that came from it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're moving on to the next thing.
Yes. And the next thing is something that can go on every February.
That's
very
right.
Appropriately, which is?
Well, we are putting together a promotion that we're calling For the Love of Carrboro.
Right.
And this will be a collective marketing promotion opportunity for businesses within the community. February, winter's always sort of a slow month for sales.
February has always been my least favorite month of the year, and I'm so happy it's the shortest. And this is a way to make it maybe one of the favorite months of the year.
That's right. That's right. Along with the Economic Sustainability Commission and my department, the Economic Community Development Department, we are trying to put together a whole program of events that happen all month, mm-hmm. sort of riding the wave of this Love Town USA, mm-hmm. That we didn't get it, but we're not disheartened. We're still, there's a lot of love in Carrboro, and there's love in a lot of different forms, not just romantic love. There's a big heart in this community of sharing and giving, but we're going to have fun with it.
Uh-huh.
And so we're going to create a series of events. I know one for sure is at the station. They're going to recreate a version of the dating game.
Really?
Yeah, that'll be very, very fun. And I'm hoping to pull together maybe some speed dating events here in town. So, you know, Valentine's is typically a time for couples, and this Love Town sort of focused on couples. Let's focus on the singles, too.
That's absolutely fascinating that the town is going to support speed dating.
There you go. So, you know, I want to, in conjunction with the businesses and working with the businesses, put together just a series of events that will just create energy within the town, create a buzz, which, you know, draws foot traffic, which draws folks mm-hmm. in stores and restaurants and mm-hmm. those kind of things. And that's what we're here to do. That's what the town of Carrboro brought me here to do, was to support businesses. And that's what we're trying to do.
This sounds like great fun. And I want to have a few questions more, but you say this is what brought you here. Give us a little of your background, Annette.
Oh.
I mean, how did you get to Carrboro?
How did I get to Carrboro?
Right.
Gosh. Well, I've been here for 10 months now, and I am loving it.
Mm-hmm.
I am from New Bern, North Carolina. I'm a native New Bernian, and my last position was with the city of New Bern. New Bern's a city down there. There's about 28,000 people mm-hmm. in New Bern, and my title was city planner.
Okay.
I always said it implied I was the only planner in the place, but I wasn't. There's uh-huh. about five or six other planners, but my focus there was historic preservation, which included the downtown, and it put me in the downtown a lot, working with businesses on, you know, signage and facade mm-hmm. improvements and, mm-hmm. you know, customers, and so it gave me my economic development base
right.
of how to work with small businesses and help them be successful.
Mm-hmm.
I also did long-range planning projects. I'm a planner by education. I have mm-hmm. a degree in urban and regional planning from mm-hmm. East Carolina University, and they still hired me here. I did long-range planning projects like bicycle planning and pedestrian planning, and wrote a lot of grants, transportation enhancement grants, grants that we used through CAMA, which is Coastal Area Management Act, the Vision of Coastal Management, to do walkways around the river, the Neuse River and the Trent. New Bern's mm-hmm. at the confluence of two rivers, so mm-hmm. A lot of water there. So those were kind of my focuses, and it really concentrated in the downtown and all the things that make all the amenities, you know,
right.
the parks, the streets, all the amenities, that things that make the community attractive for business.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to say that they're thriving down there. They're doing well, but This was a point in my life where I had the opportunity to go, and I've been in Newbern Mayo the whole life, and I thought, right. Well, it's time to go do something different. And this position, I saw it advertised, and it spoke to me. It, I think that my personal preferences and beliefs are in alignment with this community, so I love Carrboro. I hope they like me.
Well, we're certainly liking you, that's for sure. But the I had a question in my mind and it just went right out. I know what it was. When you came here from Newbern, what was different? What might have presented some new challenges to you besides the fact that you've got, you know, a whole different job description perhaps, but what would you have found the most challenging? Change is challenging, to start
right?
With.
Change itself is challenging. I being a native from a place and knowing so many people, and you ask me a question, and I've got some history and resources and places I know to go and dig and get, and so having to kind of reestablish that base of, you know, I know where to go find the information because that's you ask me a question. I'm not going to say I don't know. I'm going to say I will find out.
Right.
And so having to relearn where to find out.
Yes.
It's been a challenge, but that's okay. That's what makes you stronger. Uh-huh. So, I think I've done pretty good since I've been here. I've met a ton of people and made a lot of great connections. And I mean, that's my strength. It's what I love to do.
Right.
So it's coming along. I'm beginning to know I've got resources, places to point to and you know, make things happen. So.
Right. So, and what has been the most fun? It's got to be meeting the people. Besides that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The most fun, gosh. Well, this whole Love Town thing, that was just fun. I mean, that was fun pulling together the resources. That's where sort of I began to feel like I was really on my feet and, you know, coordinating an event and really making things happen. So as an individual, that's been fun. The people that
really
I work
came
with,
close on your being here. I mean, you've only been here 10 months.
That's
And that landed in your lap, which was, I'm sure, made for a lot of scrambling.
It did. Yes. It did. Well, it, you know, really made me scratch my head and figure out how to make things happen and how to pull things together. But the folks that I work with at Town Hall are all great. I'm, you know, just making great new friends, and I'm just loving that, just the newness. In Carver itself is so walkable, and, you know, I love being here.
Right. That's great. Okay.
I wanted to say this, I've, you know, being away from the water, but I'm really interestingly beginning to appreciate the Piedmont, the landscape, the beauty. It's, and you drive through it your whole life, but then when you kind of immerse yourself in it, I'm really just enjoying riding the back roads, and it's a beautiful place.
Yeah, it is. It really is. So let's get a little bit back to what's planned besides the speed dating and how this is going to be, you know, an annual for the love of Carrboro.
Yeah.
So what else is going on?
Well, I certainly hope to roll it into an annual. We'll see how it goes this year. I mean, it's certainly something that can be an annual event, and I think there's a great opportunity with it. It's part of, you know, the Board of Aldermen. A couple years back, had a local living economy task force, and one of the recommendations of the task force was to create events. So this is certainly consistent with something that the Board of Aldermen wanted to see happen. And tonight at the Board of Aldermen meeting, they'll be considering a resolution to declare February for the Love of Carver Month. So we're going to make this thing official and really get it kicked off this evening. What I see happening again surrounding a series of events, fun events that we can do, and we'll continue to build on those events, is advertising opportunities. We're working with WCHL Radio, who is going to do a whole series, a whole month long of advertising. I'm here today talking on WCOM.
And also, the advertising that WCHL is going to be doing for the business community.
That's right.
Right.
Exactly. They are going to be contributing a good deal to that. I'm also working with the Carver Citizen to do some ads that will be collective, half page, you know, for the love of Carver, that will feature businesses and the specials that that they run. So you know, this collective energy, collaboration, making it cost effective for mm-hmm. businesses to advertise in this month when it is generally tight for them. Mm-hmm. That's sort of the concept, to create a very Carber-centric, Carber-focused, feature businesses, create some energy here in a time when things are generally slow.
And WCOM definitely wants to be part of that. We can't, because we're a nonprofit organization, we can't do commercial advertising.
Right.
But we can certainly promote the idea. We mm-hmm. can promote the various events that are going on and be very much part of this whole For the Love of Carver, because that's what we are.
Right. I think there's an opportunity for a format like this, WCOM. I'd love to see, you know, random acts of kindness, mm-hmm. random acts of love here in Carver. And, you know, mm-hmm. we can report on that. We can right. talk about where people have just done things kind mm-hmm. for other people and promoting that. And, you know, this kind of being a center for that. I think Carver's the perfect place for that.
That's I agree. And I know in talking with Claudio, because he's, as I said, sorry that he can't be here today, but he's very much interested in having you come on a regular basis or whenever it is that something's happening that we can
sure.
we can share. Because, we kind of love Carver too.
Good.
We like Chapel Hill as well.
That's right. Oh, you know, let me say this if we've got a second.
Yeah, sure.
Well, and in terms of Chapel Hill, when we were in the running for the Love Town, our Chapel Hill neighbor was so supportive. Mm-hmm. The mayor from Chapel Hill, Mayor Kleinschmidt, came out to the town community meeting, and he was very supportive mm-hmm. and just, you know, he was anything that he could do to help us. And, you know, we are literally joined at the hip here.
Yes.
And so we do well with them. They do well with mm-hmm. us. You know, we collectively are a strong body and, are a people and a community. And so they were extremely supportive then. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say thank you and mm-hmm. very appreciative, and know that our two communities get along famously. And
right.
It's a good thing that we're here together.
We kind of like to tease one another, but
that's all it is
teasing.
That's right.
We always
that's
say
right.
Carver is 10 degrees cooler.
All right.
Anyway, what else can we talk about? Tell us about the event you said was coming up at the station.
Well,
what's going to happen?
Yeah,
there?
they're still working on that, but they have committed to me that mm-hmm. they will do some kind of form of the dating game. And if mm-hmm. you remember the show from way back when, and when I sent the email out, I was scared. God, I'm dating myself, but aging, saying my age. I'm not dating myself. It's kind of, I don't know. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, the whole format is there's a single, whether it be a female or a male, and they can't see the bachelors or bachelorettes. If uh-huh. you remember how that all worked, and there was questions asked back uh-huh. and forth, bachelor number one, bachelor number two, and they answered
right.
questions.
Right.
And then there was a selection of a bachelor. And I would assume that that whoever, you know, gets selected as a couple, they're going to get a free dinner, or they're, uh-huh. you know, they're going to get some kind of a date put
right.
together for them. So there's some details still to be uh-huh. worked out. And again, because this is new and
right.
But you know, that's just fun. That's just
yes.
going to be fun. And I can see a similar event, and I'll, you know, right now sort of extend an invitation to businesses that are listening. If you have an idea, would like to host an event, let me know. This is the time that I'm trying to, you know, coordinate uh-huh. these things. The Newlywed Game was uh-huh. a similar sort of format
right.
where there was a host and he asked the newlyweds the questions, the men separate from the women
right.
and, or the couples
see how
separate.
Well they
that's right.
knew each other.
See how well they knew each other. So, I mean, that would be a fun, easy thing mm-hmm. to do, and would create a little energy
right.
for the town. So there's a lot of things like that that we can do. Again, still putting together a
right.
schedule. And so now this interview is sort of an invitation to mm-hmm. businesses. I'd love to hear from you. I've put out email blasts. The Chamber, who has been very supportive of our office, they've put out emails to the Carver businesses that are members. So I'm extending an invitation to Carver businesses to call me.
And how do people get in touch with you?
They can call me. My office number is 918-7319. That's at the office. They can also email me at astone at townofcarborough.org. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to hear ideas. If you've got specials, maybe you're not running an event, but if you've got specials, you know, that an example is Bill Suiters at the UPS store, who is our outgoing chairman of the Economic Sustainability Commission.
And an underwriter for WCOM as well.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Awesome. He is going to run a special for couples. If you come in and get your passport together, then it's half off mm-hmm. for your passport. Neat. So, you know, something like right. that. So that where you're, again, the random acts of kindness. Love that idea. You know, mm-hmm. if anybody wants to do a special along that line. But if you're running specials, then, again, we're going to have at least two half-page ads in the Carborough Citizen, and we would be happy to do collective advertising for you mm-hmm. that way for the Love of Carborough Month.
Now, are there going to be a list of events or
right.
locations on the town website?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it'll
they,
be...
They can't commercialize it too much, but I mean, just what's going on.
Right. If there's a particular event, then yeah, mm-hmm. we'll certainly get it up on the Economic Community Development page. Mm-hmm. But it may not be on the front page. We're still working on formatting for the
right.
For the website.
On the Facebook page?
There's on the Facebook page.
Tell us
about
that.
That's right. There was a Love Town USA Facebook page, and I have now appropriately changed it to the For the Love of Carborough Facebook. So find us on Facebook, and there'll be updates on what's happening there. Also, we are tweeting, but I may either create a complete new handle. We have a Love Town USA Carborough mm-hmm. Twitter handle. I'm sort of a novice at the whole Twitter thing, but I'm learning. Uh-huh. So we'll be tweeting and we'll be doing Facebook and keeping folks updated that way. But for now, for businesses, if you're interested, please let me know through the phone number, through the email. And then public, we will be getting information out there. If you're interested in the events that are happening, keep mm-hmm. up with us through the Facebook and through Twitter.
Now, we've talked about, for love as two people.
Right.
But you did originally say something about broadening the concept of love. And I'm thinking about for the love of community and how events might be fostered around that. And, the random acts of kindness kind of comes in there. But,
right. There's a lot of brainstorming to be
yeah,
done, but there's
yeah.
just so much to do with it. It is.
Uh-huh.
There's so much to do with it, and it's so Carborough.
Uh-huh.
You know, it is.
You've got to have an event on Weaver Street Market Lawn.
That's right. That, you know, that makes perfect sense.
Uh-huh.
And that, you know, that is just something that just really resonates uh-huh. with the whole spirit and community of Carborough. And I, you know, I felt it when I came here. Uh-huh. I just sort of intuitively knew it was here, and then I saw it. I see it
mm-hmm.
almost every day. So I know that this is an event that'll work here and,
right.
and be good for the community.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And you certainly are bringing a lot of energy into Carborough. And we've got a lot of energy anyway, but you're bringing more additional energy. Of
good.
It's positive and fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's
there's no
I'm
need
kind
to...
of in favor of fun.
That's right.
It doesn't all have
That's
to
right.
be heavy and work. You know, you can achieve what you want to do, but with a good touch of good spirit behind it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's just, I want to go to work every day and have fun
uh-huh.
at doing what I'm doing and enjoy, you know, just enjoy life and enjoy people, appreciate that
right.
everybody's got something to bring to the table.
Absolutely.
You know, and just appreciating them for all their specialness, you
mm-hmm.
know, no matter what form it is, you know.
Right.
And so that's kind of where I'm trying to get myself personally, and
uh-huh.
and so I bring it to my work too,
because
right, that's
right.
just how I want it to be.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you so much. I know that you've got another meeting to get to.
I do.
But is there anything else you need to tell or would like to tell us?
Well, or? just real briefly in terms, and we've got just a few minutes.
Yeah.
The Economic Community Development Department itself is here to support businesses. So I want to remind you all of that, and that the town does have a revolving loan program.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about that last time. So,
no, we didn't at all.
So there is a small amount of money available for small business creating new businesses
mm-hmm.
or retaining existing jobs. It's about job creation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that this town, Carborough, has had for like 25 years and been very successful implementing that. There's a lot of sort of what I call iconic businesses that have baguette because of that fund. Weaver Street Market being one of them, Carburitos, Cat's Cradle. There's a lot
unique corn.
There you go. That's right. Yeah. There are a lot of businesses that were started because of that revolving loan fund, and it's still strong, and the town continues to try to promote that. So I want to remind business owners that there's opportunity there if you've got, you know,
potential entrepreneurs.
That's right, to potential entrepreneurs. If you've got some ideas or funding that would help you get off the ground, we want to be assistance to you in that way. We also have a couple of energy efficiency programs, one for residential and then one for businesses. And if anybody noticed and saw when SIDS was under construction, there was a new roof put in there and an upgrade of HVAC and a couple of other things that improve the energy efficiency of that building. Again, that's a revolving loan, but it's very low interest and terms are very flexible. And we're sort of modeling this energy efficiency revolving loan on the town's business revolving loan fund because it has been successful and it has been self-sustaining, and sustainability is the buzzword of the century, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So those two things are out there. I just want to remind people that they are there, and that is something that if you're interested, through my office, please give me a call. The residential is being handled out of a different office, but I can certainly direct you from that.
And give us your contact information one more time.
Okay. My office number is 918-7319, and my email is astone@townofcarborough.org.
Thanks much, and I'm expecting that you'll be back here frequently.
I would love to. Thank you.
Terrific.
For the love of Carborough.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks a lot, Annette.
Thank you, Audrey.
One of the things we're going to do right now is, after having fun talking with Annette, is we're going to play a little bit of a game on Claudio, who can't be here today, but I happen to have a CD of his. And it was of a previous show done, I guess maybe 2 or 3 years ago, actually, when John Paul was his co-host, where a friend of his came in and was visiting, and they got to telling stories about the Claudio's time in the Caribbean when he was chefing at, I think it was called Blackbeard's or Bluebeard's Castle, one or the other. But they started telling stories on each other. So, Claudio, you know what happens when you turn your back around here. We're going to play that again for people who may not have heard it, just to hear a little bit about what Claudio was doing way back when. So, hang on while I get this going. We're still here. I'm setting it up. And here we go. Just to give you a little info on Claudio.
The speaker's right there.
What is this?
That shark cats pretty dim shows them pearly white, jackknife has my teeth them, keeps it on down there out of sight. Shark nips with those.
Okay, and that was Phil Harris. And that's when they were on board ship, and Claudio was dancing with Alice Faye. Let's get the next track going when Gary Jensen is in, and they are talking away.
Anyway, so we're as full of it as usual here at Claudio Speakeasy.
That's for sure.
If not more.
And I want to bring in my buddy here. We haven't really connected in quite some time. We were in St. Thomas in 77. And
now, is that where you guys met in St. Thomas?
No, we met when my car broke down in Raleigh on the highway.
When was that?
I was driving down the road trying to loosen my load. I was going up this hill and just coming back into Raleigh town from doing a wiring job out of town in Carrboro. It was late one night, and I just wanted to get some rest. And as I was coming up over the rise, I seen these two fools pushing a Volkswagen uphill.
Oh,
that'd be my brother and me.
Oh, God.
Just coming back from a birthday party, I was told. Well, anyway, I seen them, and I passed them by, and I thought to myself, I bet you they ran out of gas. And I got chuckling to myself. And I thought, well, here it is, 1 a.m, and they ain't got a prayer, so... I pulled over anyway, and I thought, well, they didn't look dangerous or anything. Let me see if I can give them a hand. I don't think they'll take my car away from me. So I put it in reverse, and I backed up, and I pulled over, and I got out, and I says, oh, y'all run out of gas? And they were both a couple of hoot owls that had been tipping the bottle a little bit, and they, oh,
we're not drunk.
From
thank
a
you
birthday
very much.
Party. And I said, so you want me to get you some gasoline? So Claudio says, oh, would you? And I says, yeah, get in. So we went to the gas station.
That's a poor imitation of Claudio. I want you to know that.
And we got him some gas, got him hooked up and everything. And
heck no, you had to clean the points and do all kinds of stuff. Gas wasn't doing the trick. My plan was to push the car up the hill and then roll it down and hopefully wind up at a gas station.
Well, you're right by Hillsboro, so you could have rolled right.
I was on the hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was the game plan. And then he saw it on the other side, and this ex-biker driving a car was wondering if these two guys might take his car away from him. I don't quite get that picture.
Well, he didn't look too dangerous. He did look pretty harmless. So we got back to your pad, and you said, well, I realize it's 1:30 in the morning, but would you like to come in for a cup of coffee?
I wanted to do something for the guy who helped us out.
So we sat and yakety-yak till about 3. And finally, I says, well, I guess I better hit it. And Claudio says, well, look, I've got a couple women coming over tomorrow night, and I don't know what to do with one of them. And I says, is she good looking? He says, well, yeah, of course she is. In fact, she's better looking than mine. And I said, right, that's going to happen, isn't it? So I agreed to come back the following evening, and we was going to double date. And that's just what we did.
There was another girl in the picture. And stop trying to give me a reputation.
With accompaniment.
Well, Claudio's life with accompaniment, as told by Gary.
Yeah.
As charaded by Gary.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that is how we met initially. And then some months later, I was still in my chefing career in those days, I got the offer to go to St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands and run Bluebeard's Castle as first a sous chef and then take over as chef. That was the offer made by the fellow, Stu Anderson, whom I was working for in Pinehurst at the Pinehurst Hotel, who originally opened up Bluebeard's Castle. So any recommendation from him opened the door.
Sounds like a cinch.
Yeah, right, it was.
Well, I remember one day coming over to your place, you said you had a bottle, and I thought, well, I sure hope it's a little Jack Daniels or Jim Beam. And as I came up the driveway hoping to get myself a couple of shots, you opened this envelope and shoved the contents in my face, and I read the letter, and by God, it was from the Bluebeard's Castle, and they were offering you an apartment and everything in a sous chef position. And
including a plane ticket.
Airplane ticket, and oh, Lordy.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, I told him that I was probably going to be heading to the islands in a month or so. And out of the blue, he says, well, hell, can I come with you? And I said, my God, you've got a whole life here. How are you going to pull that off?
Yeah.
And I'll let you tell that story, but he actually pulled it off and ended up going to the islands with me.
Yeah, I sold all my junk, put all my tools in a footlocker, put my clothes in a suitcase, and those two bags went on the 747 with you, me, and Jerry, and with the main intention that we was going to go to St. Thomas out in the middle of the Caribbean and stay drunk for the rest of our lives and chase women.
And look for Hemingway. That was the idea.
Something like that.
I know he's under a boat somewhere. I will never forget when I first took over at Bluebeard's Castle as sous chef, because we still had old, what do you call him, Eddie...
Sternberger.
Sternberger. He was the chef, but he was rapidly losing popularity. The first night they basically familiarized me with the property, my room, my little cottage, which was, I think we had more people living at my place than anywhere else in Bluebeard's castle.
Yeah, oh Lord, you had an apartment.
Like seven or eight people in a little efficiency.
Oh my
sleeping
God.
On the carpet,
piled well, high. But anyway, they wanted me to
hot
get familiar with
women. that was cool.
It's the tropics. What do you expect?
Yeah, I like that.
So they tell me to get familiar. They told me where all the storage units were, and it just so happened that one of them was right outside the main entrance of Bluebeard's castle, a little down the hill. Was sort of one of those subterranes where you just saw a little window peeking up above street level, and the rest was below earth and was nice and cool, and that's where they kept all their canned storage. Well, I went in there. It's around twilight time. Hit the light switch, and the light, nothing came on. So the only light I had to go by was this little twilight shining through the window. So I'm basically turning around these cans and looking at things I've never heard before and thinking, well, I've got these ingredients in there. I can make something. I was coming up with some original menu designs.
Just because the date code was 12 years ago doesn't mean anything.
In my mind. It was sealed. The demons were still in the box.
Yeah.
And the bottom of the can was bulging, right?
We don't want to talk about the alcohol content.
Fermented.
So I'm looking at this thing, and while going around these shelves, I notice this beautiful creature that looked just was stuffed on top of one of the shelves. I mean, as long as a fish story.
Are you sure you weren't stuffed at the time?
I wasn't too far from it.
Yeah.
But I just looked at this beautifully colored thing on top of the shelf, and I went, my God, that is gorgeous. And I just sort of picked it up, and I brought it really close to my face, and all of a sudden the thing goes,
and it was alive. It
was. It was
stuffed.
A live iguana, and I had never seen. Well, I'd seen them before, but I'd never held one that close to my face.
Especially when I was like,
a little bit. It was like a solid electric charge.
Those
just
things
going
are dangerous.
Through both of us. Yeah. Yeah. So I did everything I could to just sort of get it to the door and help it out because I didn't want to drop it on the floor. I knew that would injure the thing beyond anything I wanted. But I mean, my nervous system was outside on my body, and I managed to get it out. And that became the joke at Bluebeard's Castle for about the first 2 weeks of my apartment there.
Ouch.
My night with the iguana.
Yes.
Tennessee Williams, eat your heart out.
Yeah.
But I will never forget that. I still get electricity when I think of that story. And it was unusually large.
Did
and here I am thinking it's a stuffed animal picking it up.
But no. But it must have been pretty heavy.
Did you tell that to Nat Blake? You told
yes,
him that.
I did.
I know he howled about
he
that.
He mocked me for ages.
In fact, he even played a little thing on the piano.
He was a comedian that would play songs backwards on the piano, take the great classics and play them backwards. One of his favorite was Born Free, My Father's a Doctor, My Mother's a Midwife, So Why Shouldn't I Be Born Free?
Right,
and then he would
right,
also
right.
actually play the songs backwards, which like play the keys backwards, which.
Weird.
Amazing. You laughed just looking at the guy and listening to him play.
Nat Blake was fun.
He was great. He had very unkind words for Eddie.
Oh, well. Eddie's wife had unkind words, too.
But we'll leave that alone. And that's back in 77. And I remember one night. Can you remember the details on this? How did I wind up? How did your girlfriend and I wind up with your station wagon at 3 o'clock in the morning? And going through the back roads of St. Thomas, and somewhere I made a turn, and I have no idea what kind of state I'm in, because I'm not usually drunk behind the wheel. It's not a habit of mine. But I have no idea what happened that night. I took a strong left turn and knocked over a fire hydrant, and there was this massive waterfall happening in St. Thomas.
In my station wagon.
In your station, with the back end of it. And
ouch.
Sally immediately said, we need to go tell the cops. I said, we're not telling anybody about this. So we just skedaddled out of the back roads in St. Thomas and went back up the hill. But I can't remember how it was.
I sent him out looking for a bottle. And I told him to go to a local bar and see if they could pawn a bottle from him for however much money. We were partying back at the room. But anyways.
That was the night St. Thomas lost a lot of its desalinated water.
That's awful.
This is my first confession of that moment.
Oh, yes.
He had a South African girlfriend.
Never heard this story before.
She went into a panic there at first. I mean, it was kind of funny. We were trying to make humor of the whole thing, but I felt like I was in a getaway car after that happened.
Yeah, my rear bumper looked like you were in the getaway car. That's
yes,
right.
So if St. Thomas is listening...
Sorry about that.
Yeah, yes.
Sorry about that, St. Thomas.
Sorry about them 50 trucks you had to bring in with water.
Ouch.
But anyway, so what...
Well, I was living on that 200-acre ranch, beachfront property.
Which a girlfriend of mine helped you acquire, Patty.
Mm-hmm. And the fellow that owned it was the guy who owned Pittsburgh Steel, Jim Robertson.
And if you can use your imagination, it was the kind of place you could have imagined seeing Ernest Hemingway on. Had this marvelous terrace, sort of like a hacienda, overlooking an entirely private beach, going down with cacti and so on, going down to the waterfront. It was gorgeous. I envied you that piece of property.
Yeah, well, especially with all the naked women running around on the beach with their tops off.
Tell me about them. I'd have been there more frequently.
I didn't tell you?
Yeah, I know you kept that one to yourself.
Yeah, we always had at least two or three sailboats docked.
But that pretty was amazing. And you ended up with a gig as a caretaker, or what was your...
Yeah, I oversaw the ranch.
And fixed anything that needed fixing.
Plumbing, electrical, you name it. Structural, carpentry, the whole nine yards. I had my tools with
me. While I was sweating it behind a stove. And my girlfriend gets him this fantastic place. Never offered it to me.
Huh. Wonder what was going on there.
Don't know.
Yeah, a little hanky-panky.
Could have been a matter of personal preference. I don't know.
Could be, yeah. I never thought of it that way.
Well, you want to go into some kind of a tune there? Let's break in with
you got
something.
A tune?
I don't know.
You got a tune of your own, or who are you going to play? It's Gary Jensen. I think John Paul McClellan's going to be kicking in here too, folks. Coming at you live from WCOM 103.5 FM, Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else. Ladies and gentlemen, Gary Jensen and John Paul tuning in on the other side. Hey, Gary, you remember that time you and I were sitting in Sparky's on the waterfront in St. Thomas?
Now, wait a minute now. We must have sat in Sparky's.
Yeah,
many
a
time.
Many
times. Which time was that?
Yeah, which time?
Yes, yes.
And was I sober or not?
That was the day I got the real drink and you got the pine float.
Okay.
Which is a glass of water with a toothpick floating in it. That was his version of a pine float.
Yeah, well, your version of tomato soup was a bowl of hot water with some catsup in it.
Yeah.
You're saying this
and
to...
some crackers.
Wait a minute. Hold on, you ruined my reputation around here. Anyway, we're sitting in there that day we were having a couple of brews, and we were looking at each other, and there was Main Street, and then there was just the ocean. And we were sitting there, we take two or three sips of that beer, and all of a sudden we see this tire come... zipping by us down the road, passing two cars on the way.
Oh, Lord. Oh, my God.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. Oh, how could you
pick up the story?
Yeah, we were just sitting there drinking a beverage, and we're looking out, and you can see the ocean coming in right at the waterfront. Yeah. Sparky's is very picturesque. And out of nowhere, without a vehicle attached to it, comes this wheel rolling down.
Doing a good 45. By itself. and following very closely behind a three-legged car.
Oh. Must have been a Citroën.
Looking like it was trying to hump something.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy.
Of course, it seems to me I remember another unrelated.
And I remember us looking at each other going, this beer must be better than we think it is.
I remember stalling one of my Vegas. I ran Chevy Vegas right out in front of Sparky's, and there was a St. Tomian taxi cab driver right behind me laying on his horn, and I was stalled. I mean, what could I do? So I thought, I had this sledgehammer sitting right beside me.
Remember,
on the seat.
You can't use them seven words on radio.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I open the door, I grab the sledgehammer, I walk around to the front of the car. This taxi cab driver is carefully eyeballing me. And I take the sledgehammer, and I haul off, and I hit my Vegas fender panel as hard as I could. I mean, wham! You should have seen the dent that I put. And this is right in front of Sparky's. And
I was standing there, too.
Were watching me, and I didn't know I was being watched. I was just so angry at
the time.
I'm
thinking the whole St. Thomas is noticing me standing next to this guy.
Big dent in my fender, and I'm sitting there cussing the darn thing, and I turn around, get back in the car, throw the hammer on the floorboard, grab the key, starts right up, and I put it in gear, and I drive off.
Let me throw in something that you forgot to mention, that when that guy that was so steamed up at you for blocking traffic saw you going at your car with a sledgehammer, he threw his hands up in the air like, no, don't do that, I didn't mean to stop that.
And he thought just, I was going to get his taxi cab next.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what he was thinking.
But he was still running. He didn't need the extra bump.
No, he didn't need the help.
His jaw was on his left knee until you got back in the car.
Good Lord.
But it got started up and took right off. Everyone in Sparky's, I'm sure they were wondering, oh, man, that guy's crazy.
You kind of had the reputation. I noticed whenever you walked into a bar, people moved aside.
You noticed that?
I did notice that.
Because I didn't shower frequently.
No, that might have been part of it, yeah.
That's it.
No,
okay.
Not really.
There's a fungus among us. Move over.
Oh, boy.
Boom!
Hey, yeah. Speaking of that, do your Wolfman Jack. You always had a good one.
You mean the big Wolfman Jack on the XCRB channel 1090 on your radio? Now, nah, babies, you're going to love it to death. You're going to be dead on the sidewalk till the blood gushes out.
Yeah.
What he said.
Yeah, same thing. Holy mackerel.
God, St. Thomas is full of memories. And I remember I went there in 77. I stayed for a year and then went back and did some stuff stateside. And 11 years later, I came back to the island back in 85. To pull his tail off the island. I didn't even realize he was still on it. So you stayed there 11 years to my one, and I think you were responsible for every major generator on the island.
Oh, I thought you were going to say pregnancy.
Man. Oh, no.
Say, no, not me. No,
it wasn't me.
That's generating another kid. Generating of another kind.
Different sort of generation, yes.
That's what that is, a generation.
It was 85 degrees.
No, I wasn't talking about the Jensen generation, no. I was talking about the generators.
Yeah.
So how did you, land in that gig? You had your, what was the name of your company?
A-Electric.
A-Electric.
Yeah, it was right next to B-Electric.
Yeah, well, A-Electric, that puts you first
zero.
In the book.
Yeah. That's the game plan, I got
exactly.
Yeah, I wanted to be first in the phone book, so yeah, A-Electric.
And you were.
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Because I remember you trying to... You were trying to get me a gig on Radio WGOD.
Yeah,
W God
station from above.
The Christian, on top of the mountain, the Christian station.
Mm-hmm.
And I just needed the gig to pull in a little money and let people know that the African poet was back on the island. And they turned me down because I was raised in Africa, remember? And do you remember what you did after that? He was the main guy to fix their generator. So he said,
Watch out.
If my buddy's not good enough to come on your radio show, then maybe I can't fix that generator. And I got a pretty decent gig there for a minute.
Yeah. And their generator that wasn't repaired by me just yet kind of went...
And that was the end of that.
And you see, I didn't realize this and was talking into the mic the whole time.
Couldn't get it started again. Would you please come and work on our generator? We promise, we promise.
Tell Claudia you can come to a show.
Yes. At which point it went... and everyone was a happy camper again.
That's it. Yeah. Funny how that worked out.
Yeah, Diesel was nice.
Do you remember the Mighty Whitey?
The Mighty Whitey, my son. What?
A mutual friend of ours who back in 1977 actually won the Calypso show, and every other band that was competing was a, do I have to be politically correct, an African-American band. And he was actually in fear of his life because he won it as a white person.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah, but he also went to elementary school, junior high, and high school with every single guy on the island.
I know.
He grew up there as a child.
And he was still scared. Go figure. Because
yeah,
I remember
everybody knew who he was, and they all respected him.
I mean, he earned it. He was good.
He grew up a man.
I know.
He grew up.
But I remember in 85 when South Africans were doing this mass exodus from Africa and winding up in the Caribbean, I was invited to come back on Radio 1 St. Thomas, where I'd formerly had a show as co-host with King Obstinate, and my title then was The African Poet. And I was just getting ready to introduce myself as The African Poet just to say hello after all these years again. And Nikki Russell comes up and just jams and grabs the microphone out of my hand and goes, Claudia, whatever you do, do not refer to yourself as The African Poet right now. There's a South African revolution going on outside the door. Man, they'll kill you. And that's when I started to just blame Claudio.
That was during the time with the struggle against apartheid.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, so... Yeah.
Big exodus. And,
people were not happy with people from South Africa back then.
I am not South African, but I was raised there. Yeah. Enjoyed an incredible childhood there.
And you were a poet and didn't know it. And your feet both show it.
And if you had whiskers, you'd look like a goat.
Somebody stop these people.
That's right.
So what points to ponder do you recall of the islands?
Bring back
some memories.
You mean all the time?
That's what today's show is about.
Yeah, come back a little closer to the mic for us.
Well, it seems to me like we were there all of 3 days in Bluebeard's Castle when one glorious afternoon we were heading out to go start our day's worth of bar hopping. And as we were going across the parking lot heading for downtown, who should we see? About 4 feet deep in the middle of the parking lot was Fred, their chief engineer for Bluebeard's Castle, in a hole up to his kneecaps in water.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and so me and Claudio and Jerry, we thought, well, let's give him a little zinger. So
Jerry is a buddy from North Carolina, just to give him his due.
Okay.
I looked at this poor sap, and I said, well, it looks like business is in the hole. And, of course, we all found that amusing, but he did not.
No, he was probably not.
He was in the hole.
He was not entertained by that.
Yeah. Well, I looked over and I looked down and I says, what in the Sam Hill are you doing? He says, oh, we broke a line in the middle of the parking lot and I'm trying to dig it out so I can put a slip coupling on and repair it. But I can't figure out how to get my hacksaw in this hole. And I go, wait a minute. I got an idea. And I turn to Claudio, can you wait for a second? I buzzed back to the room, pulled out a skill saw with a metal cutting blade on it and a ground fault circuit interrupter, came buzzing back out to the parking lot, and I handed it to him. And he says, well, what do you want me to do with a skill saw? And I says, look at it. And he goes, oh, wait a minute, this doesn't have a... Hey, what kind of blade you got on here? And I says, a metal cutting blade.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, and he turns to one of his helpers, and he says, go get me extension cord quick and run it out to the hole here. So I just turned to Fred, and I says, hey, we're out of here. Have a nice time. Later that evening, when we come stumbling in drunk at about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, we get this on the door, and here's the chief engineer, Fred, returning my skill saw. And he says, man, you're a savior with this saw. What are you doing tomorrow morning? And I said, well, what are you talking about? And I had a head.
Trying to get over what I did last night.
Apartment full of women, you know. And you want to come in and join us? I said, no, I got to get some sleep. But tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, I'm going to be knocking on your door. And I said, no, I'm going to have a hangover at 7 o'clock. He said, well, what about 8 o'clock? And I said, no, I'm going to have a hangover at 8 o'clock. Said, well, what about 9 o'clock?
Same thing.
I said, no, I'm going to have a hangover at 9 o'clock. He says, well, I'm coming at 9. You better be ready. So he scooped me up at 9, and we went and had a cup of coffee, and he took me out to Coral World.
Oh, goodness, yeah. Great place.
Plop me down in front of administration out there.
Let me explain what Coral World is for a minute. It's a place on the east end of St. Thomas where that is literally built into the ocean so you can see an entire reef system and whatever comes swimming by there naturally. It's not an aquarium, but it's built like an aquarium, but you actually see the bottom of the open ocean.
Cool.
I also had quite a large aquarium on the indoor houses. I don't know if you ever went through Coral World before.
I did, yeah.
A couple of hundred really neat fish. Anyhow, so I was about 2 hours into talking to the people that ran the place, and finally they said, well, we need a chief engineer. And I said, well, what kind of money are we talking? Well, as it ended up, for the next 6 months, I was chief engineer for Coral World.
I remember that, yeah. That was back in the 70s. That was before I left. I remember one afternoon walking down one of the back roads in St. Thomas, actually coming down from the steep incline, and running into Franklin Ajai's father, the black movie star, Franklin Ajai, the comedian.
Yeah.
And we ended up walking 2 or 3 miles together, just having this incredible conversation. But you never know who you bump into on that island.
Oh, yeah, I know. I remember bumping into Jimmy Buffett at a free concert at the old Calabash where we used to, one of our watering holes, right in downtown across from the post office.
How'd you bump into him?
I come walking into the bar first thing in the morning, and they says, oh, well, we're not quite open yet. And I says, well, for me? And they go, well, all right, yeah, we're open for you. So I'm sitting at the bar drinking a Bloody Mary, and the new owner comes up, and he says, man, we just bought this. It's not going to be called the Calabash anymore. And I go, okay, what's it going to be called? He told me, and I thought, okay, well, I'm going to kind of miss that, but anyway. And he says, but you got to stick around. This afternoon, Jimmy Buffett is floating in on his yacht, and he's going to do a free concert. So I stayed and drank at the Calabash all day long, and sure as heck, he comes in with his stagehands, and they set him up inside, and next thing you know, there's thousands of people all over the streets, and the windows were wide open. People were hanging in the house and hanging out of the house, and I got a chance to say hey to him.
All right.
It was fun. It was a great concert.
I'm sure.
Outstanding.
I'm sure.
I remember, actually, you know, the song he sings, Manana. Remember when I was working for Rush, I was the chef on the schooner that Rush had. It was a 74-foot schooner built in 1937 for the King of Denmark. And they also did chartering when Rush wasn't using it. It was actually owned by Neil Peart, the drummer.
Yeah.
And I actually slept in his cabin. That was my hangout. I left him some of my books.
Of course,
I thought of those.
But we also used to hang out at CBI.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, we ended up winning the yacht show, which... at King Garden Bay, and the schooner I was on as a result of chef cuisine and authenticity of vessel and disposition of crew won the gig. But I didn't realize this was happening because they announced everybody. And everybody was announced before the winner was, so I figured, heck, we've got lost in the shuffle and all that schmoozing we did didn't pay off. And then finally at the very end they said, now let's get serious. The crew of the Orianda, please come forward and basically come and get your trophy. And none of us were in shape to go forward. So we sent the French stewardess up there, and she just went up there and said, thank you very much, and left. But that was in King Garden Bay, the song that he sings, Manana.
And there we're going to leave Claudio with his Caribbean memories. He will be back again next week, live and in person, and we can let him know that we put this old thing back on the air today to kind of tell some tales and pay him back for not being here live. Anyway, come back again next week for Claudio's Speakeasy. We're going to tune off now and get ready for the person that was actually part of this recording, John Paul, will be coming in for Truth Quest and Variety Hour. So, and I'm trying to juggle a little bit here to get ourselves a transitional disc in there to play while we go off. And I want to say for Claudio, cheers, and come back again next week.